Welcome to the Pneuma Church podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we're so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
Thanks, Pastor Kevin, and what an absolute delight it is to be here today with you guys. And I love what God's doing at Pneuma, and I get the privilege, as Pastor Kevin said, to travel around and see a few of the different locations and what God is doing. And he's doing incredible things. There seems to be a real stirring of the water. It feels like the water levels are rising. Water levels are rising, and there's just such a hunger. And it's like this second wave that God wants to do right across Pneuma, and it's really, really exciting. I've been loving hanging out with some of your team as well and getting to know them. Yesterday caught up with some of the guys, and honestly, there's some amazing people here, some great team members here. And also, I got to share with you, last night as I was in my hotel and I was just praying, and actually it was in the middle of the night, I woke up and I had this picture of this church, and everybody had linked arms. It was like everybody's arms were linked, and you were in one long row, and you had all linked arms, and you were moving forward together. And as you were moving forward, other people were coming and linking arms. And it's like that this long line was getting longer and longer as you were all moving forward. So I believe that's a prophetic word for this house and for this location, that God's going to add families and people here that are going to be planted in the house, and that are going to link arms. And I love Pastor Kevin and Daryl. They're just exceptional pastors, amazing pastors. There's such a wealth of experience and maturity that they both hold. And, you know, I love just hanging out and talking to them about what God has done over the decades and decades of ministry. And I mean, I always boast, you know, about you guys and the fact that, you know, who plants a church at your age, you know, with so much, you've got so much, you know, youth and vigor and just the Spirit of God on you, you know, to see the kingdom established and planted. I mean, you know, a lot of people, when they get to your age, they're like, okay, I'm just going to pull back and hang back and just, you know, just retire or something. It's like, no, you're just like, no, we're going for it. And I love that zeal and that fire that you have for the kingdom of God, that zeal and that fire and that passion for revival. You just carry that hunger and that passion for revival. I mean, you've seen amazing things, but I believe that God's going to even show you more and more and more. And the best is actually yet to come, you know. And the fact that you're, you know, raising up and sowing into this next generation and seeing them, you know, I really feel what God is doing on the earth today is He's raising up mothers and fathers, spiritual mothers and fathers, to raise up spiritual sons and daughters that will go even further and do even more amazing things and build on the legacy of the mothers and fathers. So it's really exciting. It's really exciting to see what God's doing here. So, hey, awesome. Hey, turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. It's funny because I had something prepared, but I really feel to go in a slightly different direction. But when life in the Spirit is exciting because, you know, we're in a Pentecostal church that lives by the Spirit. The Bible says to live by the Spirit, to keep in step with the Spirit. And I love coming to churches, and I love it. It's like, you know, I'm not going to just give you sermon number 3, but no, this is something that I believe that God has for this church and has for you today. I love what God is doing, and I love what I can sense God doing right across Pneuma. And again, I just really feel that the water levels are rising, that God is preparing us for this next move of the Holy Spirit. You know, we've seen amazing things, especially at some of the locations and at City. We saw an amazing move of God last year and the year before, and it feels like, you know, obviously what we've been through, we're in this lull, but this it's like the wave is drawing back and about to crash again. The temperature is rising, the water level's rising, because, you know, there's about to be another pouring out and another refreshing of God's Spirit, another move of God's Spirit on the earth. And I really believe that, you know, what we're experiencing, what we're preparing for is this next great awakening. I like to call it like an awakening of the church, because revival is not only for, you know, the church, is for the outside. It's to see, you know, people come to faith and see salvations and healings and miracles. But awakening is also for the church, that sense of, come on, waking up to the reality of, you know, who we are in Christ and what God is doing. So I want to read to you from Matthew chapter 11. And this is the story of John the Baptist. So let's just read from verse 1 to verse 6. Now it came to pass when Jesus finished commanding his 12 disciples that he departed from there to teach and to preach in their cities. And when John heard in the prison about the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and he said to him, "Are you the coming one, or do we look for another?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Go and tell John the things which you hear and see: the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who is not offended because of me." Because of me. Now, John was Jesus' cousin. So John the Baptist, I mean, he was the one who baptized Jesus. He was one of the very first people on the planet to recognize who Jesus was, his divinity. He said, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world," as Jesus was walking by the Jordan. And Jesus asked him to baptize him, and he said, "Look, I'm not even worthy, you know, to untie your shoes." But Jesus said, "Nevertheless, you know, I want you to baptize me." And John the Baptist baptized Jesus. And he was the one who saw the heavens opened and the Spirit of God descending on Jesus like a dove. And he was the one that heard God the Father's audible voice saying, "Behold, this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. You know, this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased." So he actually encountered Jesus, very first person to encounter Jesus. He recognized Jesus. But here we see in this chapter, in this passage, you know, Matthew chapter 11, you know, John is in prison. John the Baptist is in prison. He's imprisoned, and he had his own disciples. Jesus had his disciples, and here he's in prison, and he said to him, "Are you the coming one, or do we look for another?" I mean, that baffles me. It baffles me. It's like, John, you saw Jesus. You know, you were the first person to recognize him. You know, but he was in this place of a prison. I mean, I don't know if you can relate. Some, you know, certain times in your life, you go through difficult season, you go through hardships or circumstances, and you sort of lose your way a bit. It's like, Jesus, do you really love me? Are you really there? You know, and it's like, hang on, you've forgotten all of the good things that God has done in your life, how much he's saved you, all of the testimonies and the stuff that he's done. But sometimes circumstances can so affect you so much that it really attacks your faith. It's like, God, you know, I mean, John's saying, are you really the one, or is this someone else? Is there someone else? I want to talk to you this morning about living a life of awareness, living a life of awareness. And I think this is such a crucial element to our Christian life and our Christian faith, is being aware of the Spirit of God. I mean, the Bible says in John, when Jesus was baptized, that the Holy Spirit descended on him and remained on him. So the Holy Spirit stayed on him. So Jesus lived with such an awareness of the Holy Spirit. I mean, how would you live if you had a dove on your shoulder? How would you walk if you had a dove on your shoulder? You walk very carefully. because you'd be so aware. Hang on, God is with me. Holy Spirit's with me. You know, and that's the invitation that he has for you and I. Every moment of our lives, on Monday and on Tuesday and on Wednesday and at work and at school and at home and, you know, when we're doing the shopping, to live with an awareness of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, what are you doing? What are you up to right now? You know, awareness, that the Bible says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 21, for all seek their own and not the things of others, not the things which are of Christ, which are of Christ Jesus. You know, so many people are walking around living so unaware that all they're aware of is their own self and that self-absorption and stuff. But it's so important to live with an awareness of God. I don't know about you, but I want to live with such an acute awareness of the Holy Spirit. He's been given to us. He lives and resides within us. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives and dwells in me. I mean, I don't know about you, but that time in worship was just beautiful. I could sense his presence and everything made sense and everything lines up when you come into his presence. But you know, the invitation from the Lord is to live with that awareness, to walk in that awareness of his presence, because he's right there. The Bible says he never will leave us and he never will forsake us. I remember when I first got baptized in the Holy Spirit, I was 19 years old and I'd given my life to Jesus, but I hadn't yet received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So I was still living with some fear and anxiety, and I didn't know whether God really loved me or he really forgave me. And I remember coming to a prayer meeting. You know, it was just a small church and there was a prayer meeting happening, and I was sitting there praying and saying, oh God, do you forgive me? Do you love me? And then someone came up to me and said, I've got a word for you, Steve. The Lord says to you, he'll never leave you nor forsake you. And as soon as he said that, I felt this liquid gold just pour out all over me from the top of my head to the tips of my toes. And I felt the presence of God, the Holy Spirit. I was baptized in the Holy Spirit and I got the joy of the Lord, the joy of salvation. And I'm here to tell you that that feeling, that presence of God, the Holy Spirit has never left me. He's never left me nor forsaken me my whole life. So, you know, I want to live with that acute awareness and that sensitivity and that attentiveness to the Holy Spirit, because he's right there with us. So he doesn't come and go. He doesn't come and go. It's our awareness that comes and goes. It's like, oh, Lord, help me to live with an awareness. So all it is a thought. Lord, I shift my awareness onto you. Yes, I know that you're with me. I know that you're speaking. I know that you have good plans for me. I know that you're here in this very situation. You want to release to me joy and strength and wisdom and peace. So how do we become more aware of God? I'm glad you asked. Well, number one, we change the way we think. We change the way we think. You know, Jesus, when he started his ministry, he had one message. When he gave his disciples authority and power to go and preach the gospel, he gave them one message: repent, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come. Repent, that word repent simply means just change your thinking, change your mind. It's a change of thinking. And that repentance is actually a lifestyle. It's not a once-off event. It's not like, oh yeah, I repented when I was 19. No, I want to live a life of repentance, a life of, Lord, renew my mind, change the way I'm thinking, help me to be more aware of you each and every moment of the day. Shift your awareness, change the way you think, change your perspective. So John the Baptist, where was his awareness? In prison. You know, he was so caught up with what was happening in his life, in his world, the circumstance he was in. And how many understand, like, if you're in prison, that'd be tough. He was in prison for doing the right thing. And yet he said, are you the coming one or do we look for another? So he'd shifted his awareness. He was doubting that Jesus was the Christ. He was more aware of where he was and the negative that he was in rather than the signs and the wonders and the miracles. Why do we know that? Because the first thing Jesus said to them, to John's disciples, go and tell John the things that you hear and that you see. That's how important testimonies are. Testimonies and rehearsing and remembering the testimony. Remembering what has God done in my life? What has he spoken in my life? How is it? When you look back at your past, don't look back at your past sins, but look back at your past, the faithfulness of God and what he has done. So rehearse, so remember, remind yourself. That's why testimonies are so important. You know the word testimony? One of the root words of testimony means to do again. Means to do again. So when we remember what God has done, and we speak about it and we remember it and we tell about it, because the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. He'll do it again. As we, when we share about the signs and the wonders and the healings and what God has done and how he's been faithful and he's provided and he's been so good to us and he's, you know, been so faithful. When you remind yourself of that, it brings you a greater awareness of the Holy Spirit for today and for your future. But whenever you focus on what God hasn't done, you undermine your own confidence and faith in the Lord. So don't focus on what God hasn't done. It's like, oh, God, you're not doing this. God, you're not doing that. No, no, no. Where is God? Keep your awareness on where God is. And it's not positive thinking. It's nothing to do with positive thinking. It's got everything to do with the awareness of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Most people are more aware of their problems rather than God's solutions. How true that is. We're more, Lord, I need this, and this is my problem. This is my, but God's got a solution to every problem you have. He's got a promise for every problem you have, and that's what he's wanting us to give our attention to. We can be more aware of our weaknesses rather than his strengths. And here's the thing, what you are most aware of, you carry. You carry. It's on you. You've all met people that seem to be really negative. And they're always talking negative things or critical things. They're always criticizing whatever. They're carrying something. Let's not be those people. No, we want to carry the Holy Spirit. I want to be aware of where God is, what he's doing. To live in that awareness of God, not be enamored by the enemy. Some people are always, you know, talking about demons. And it's like a demon here, there's a demon here, and there's, you know, the devil's this and the devil's that. And Jesus didn't walk around being aware of the devil. He walked around being aware of his Father's voice. And because of that, he could destroy the works of the devil. He could cast out demons and heal the sick and destroy all the works of the devil. But he was more aware of the Holy Spirit, more aware of the Father's voice. John chapter 5, verse 19, Jesus said, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but whatever he sees the Father do, for whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. So God is inviting us to change our seeing, change our perception, change our way of thinking. Because whatever you're most conscious of, you will host. What you're most conscious of, you release. If you're conscious of the fire of God in your heart and in your life, guess what you're going to release? The fire of God. If you're conscious of the love of God and how much you are loved and how much God accepts you and loves you, guess what you're going to release? The love of God. You're going to release compassion and love. If you're so aware of the hope of God and the hope that you have in Christ, you're going to release that. If you're so aware of the Holy Spirit, you're going to release that. But if you're so aware of your problems, you're going to release that. So aware of your negative, you're going to release that. So self-awareness as a Christian is being aware of where God is at work, where God is at work in you. It's so important to have self-awareness. But I'm not talking about this, you know, this working on yourself. I'm talking about the awareness of where God is at work in me. What is he doing in my heart? What's he putting his finger on? What are the invitations he's leading me into? That's living with an awareness of God. So how do you live with a greater awareness of the presence of God in your life. You live in response and not in reaction. When you're driving down the highway and the car pulls in front of you, are you going to respond or are you going to react? Which one? The Bible says in Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, 2 Corinthians says, examine yourselves to see whether you're in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you? So it's important to examine our lives. Okay, God, where are you? What are the reactions? Am I reacting to certain things or situations or people? Or am I responding to that? Am I responding to that? David prayed this in Psalm 139. He said, Lord, investigate my life. See if there's any wicked way in me. Put me to the test. You know, that awareness of where God is at work in your life is the first step in personal and spiritual transformation. And we're all on that journey. We're still on that journey of being disciples and being transformed into the image and the likeness of God. And how we do that is allowing the Holy Spirit to be at work in our hearts and in our lives. Matthew chapter 7, verse 3, Jesus said this amazing statement. He said, why are you trying to take the splinter out of someone else's eye when you've got a log in your own eye? That is all about, that scripture is all about, it's more than just judging others. It's all about self-awareness. It's like, God, where you're at work in me? What are the logs in me? What are the splinters in me? What are the issues in me? What are those reactions? I tend to react. Everybody, or I get triggered. Everybody, you know, whenever someone says that, it triggers me. Well, that's an area that God is wanting to do something with. He wants to invite you into wholeness, into freedom. Because every irritation is an invitation. Every irritation that's happening in your life, every frustration is actually an invitation. It's an invitation. God's doing something in your life. That's that real inner transformation. God tests you. God allows things and situations to happen so that he can change you. What area in your life is he putting his finger on right now? In the area of reactions or frustration? What's an area? You know, this is this self-awareness. Holy Spirit, help me. Help me. What are you doing in my heart right now? There's an invitation for you. You know, Jesus never grieved the Holy Spirit. He never reacted to things. He responded to the Holy Spirit. So it's like, Holy Spirit, what are you doing? What do you want me to do? Like I said, how would you live if you had a dove on your shoulder? I love what Bill Johnson says. He says, you can't afford to have a thought in your mind that God doesn't think about you. Isn't that great? It's like, no, I want those, my mind to be constantly renewed. What does the Bible say? What does God say about me? Just like Jesus, he lived only according to the Father's voice, the Spirit's direction, heaven's awareness. Not the enemy, not frustrations, not emotions. Not, wasn't enamored by the enemy. It was like, I want to live with this awareness of the Holy Spirit. And I believe that's an invitation for us right here. It's an invitation for you right here, right now. Lord, I want to live with this sense of awareness of where are you at work? What are you inviting me into? Let me live with this awareness of the dove on my shoulder, the Holy Spirit in me. You know, what you dwell on, what you meditate on, will affect the atmosphere over your life, will affect your demeanor and your behavior, what you dwell on. You know, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6, it says, we are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's our position. We're seated in Christ. And so sometimes it's important when you're going through a major issue in your life or a major struggle or whatever, it's like, hang on, take a moment. Lord, where am I seated? I'm seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You have a plan and a purpose for me. You have strength for me in this particular situation. How do we live with an awareness of his presence in our lives? We prioritize his presence over principles. You know, a spirit of religion stifles the spirit of God in your life. It's about self. It's about ego. You know, you might say, well, I live by the word of God, by the scriptures. But all the scriptures point to a person. Jesus said, hey, you study the scriptures thinking that in these letters on pages there's life. But no, these scriptures point to a living, vibrant relationship with a person, with Jesus, by the Spirit of God. You know, further on in this scripture, in Matthew chapter 11, this is amazing. In verse 12, it talks about how in the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence and the violent take it by force. So that talks to me about, you know, we're living in a war zone. We're living in a war. We have to fight for our faith. We have to fight the good fight of faith. There's times we have to press through. We have to push through in hunger, and we have to pray in tongues and seek God and pray and fast. And there are times we really have to push through. But then further on in that scripture, that's in verse 12, right over in verse 29, 28, actually it says, come to me, all who labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So it's like God saying, hey, be still and know that I am God. Psalm 46. So which one is it, God? Do you want me to fight the good fight of faith, or do you want me to be still? Which one is God telling me to do? Well, follow the presence. What's the presence of God saying to you right now in this particular situation? He's saying, Steve, let it go. Just be still and watch what I'm going to do. I remember I was pastoring a church, and we were going through a little bit of a difficult time. We'd just moved into a new building, and we had a few people leave, and our rent had gone up, and the person had put the rent up further. And I'm like, I was really stressing, and I'm like, right, we got to strategize, we got to work together, we got to put some things in place and everything. But I remember sitting down and, you know, praying this through, and I'm like, God, What's your word for me in this season? And he said to me, be still and know that I'm God. But I'm like, no, I've got to work. I've got to be active. And it says Psalm 46, be still and know that I am God. And then the next verse says, I will be exalted in the heavens and I will be exalted in the earth. So God was saying, hey, great with all of your, you know, strategy and pushing through and everything like that and trying so hard. But Steve, right now, I just want you to be still and watch what I do. And it was tough because I'm a doer. I want to get going and get, but Lord was saying, no, be still and know. And sure enough, we had like such a massive breakthrough in the church, and it wasn't down to me or my effort or my strategy or my faith. It was like, oh God. God had done it. So that's about prioritizing the presence of God over principles. Because, you know, sometimes the principles, we think, oh no, we've got to do this. But what's God saying? Is he saying fight, push through, fight the good fight of faith? Or is he saying, hey, be still and know that I am God? It's by relationship. He's inviting us into relationship, this dynamic relationship with him. Prioritizing the presence of God over principles, over formulas. And finally, a life of intimacy with God is a life of awareness. Is a life of awareness. There's this beautiful scripture in Matthew chapter 25, and it's the parable of the 10 virgins, and 5 were wise, 5 were foolish. The 5 wise ones had extra oil in their lamps. The 5 foolish ones didn't have enough oil. So when the bridegroom came, they said to the 5 wise ones, hey, give us some of your oil. And the wise ones said, no, we're not going to give you any of our oil because we won't have enough. And I remember reading that scripture and I thought, that's really mean. I'm like, if I had extra oil, I'd give it to someone, you know, I'd give it to someone. But then the Lord spoke to me and he said, Steve, your relationship and your intimacy with God cannot be transferred. You've got to go and cultivate it yourself. You've got to go and get it yourself. You've got to dig your own wells and get into God for yourself and build that up for yourself. You can't transfer that. You can talk about it, preach about it, but your history with God, your personal history with God, cannot be transferred. You've got to cultivate it for yourself. And as you begin to do that, you start growing in more and more awareness of the Holy Spirit. More and more awareness of the Holy Spirit, because you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. The same Spirit is in you. Greater is He within you. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. His loving presence is always with you. He's always there. The question is our awareness awake to it? Are we aware that the Holy Spirit? I want you to right now just to close your eyes. Right now. Really simple. And just start to become aware of the Holy Spirit. Start to become aware of His presence. He is with you. He loves you. He absolutely loves you unconditionally. And He's already forgiven you. As you become more aware of the Holy Spirit, ask Him, Holy Spirit, what do you want to say to me right now? It might be something really simple. Or maybe He wants to give you something. Grace. I really feel that there's joy being released right now as well. Because the joy of the Lord is your strength. I really feel that He wants to break off grief off some people here this morning. He wants to break off a spirit of fear. Spirit of fear is a snare. Spirit of fear cripples you and stops you from entering into the joy of the Lord. I really feel He wants to bring healing to some minds today. He wants to renew minds and healing from some words that have been spoken over you in the past. Jesus, right now, Holy Spirit, we welcome You. We thank You that You are here right now, Lord. You have good gifts for Your people. You have grace for each one of us, Lord. You have strength for each one of us, Lord. When we are weak, You are strong. And Lord, I thank You that You are renewing minds right now. That You're breaking every power of the enemy, every demonic influence of the enemy against people's hearts and minds right now being broken off in the name of Jesus. Thoughts of I'm not good enough. Thoughts of there's something wrong with me. Break that off in the name of Jesus. Thoughts of anxiety and of fear. Right now, His love is coming and pushing out that fear, because perfect love casts out all fear. All fear. The opposite of fear is actually love. Love, grace, acceptance, love without conditions, the agape. So, Lord, I pray for each and every person here right now. I thank You for Your presence. I thank You for a greater awareness of Your Spirit upon their lives right now. Lord, I thank You for all that You're doing. I thank You that You've started a good work and You will complete it. You've started a significant work in this place and in people's lives, and You will complete it, Lord. Thank You, Lord, that You are building your church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So, Father, right now I pray for a greater sense of the awareness of your presence, awareness of your spirit, even as we go today into our lives and into our workplaces and our homes. Lord, I pray that we might live with such a greater awareness of you, speaking to us, encouraging us, Lord. I pray for peace and for hope and faith to rise up in your people, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, in Jesus' mighty name. Right now, if you are really struggling with fear and with anxiety, I want to pray for you. I want you to stand right where you are. I want to pray for you. Maybe it's like every time you come to this point in God and it's like something stops you. It's like you have this fear of the unknown or fear of what would happen. I want to break that off you right now in Jesus' mighty name. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. 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 Maybe we'll just put some music on in the background. Kiandara babarabasa karababarabasi andara babarabasi andei. Sondara babarabasi andara dei. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you are here right now to heal. You're here right now to set people free. Lord, you're here right now to break off every spirit of fear and the chains of fear that cripple your people. Right now, I pray right now in the name of Jesus for faith to rise up, for hope to rise up. Lord, for love to rise up right now. Lord, I thank you, Father, for your sons and for your daughters, Lord, that they have been kept for you, Lord. I thank you for breaking off false identities right now in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, that you are a loving Father. You are the perfect loving Father, and you cannot disown your own sons and daughters, Lord. And so right now, I take authority over every spirit of fear and spirit of anxiety, and I rebuke it in the name of Jesus. No more, no more. Today, there's a line drawn in the sand. No more. And every chain of fear is broken in Jesus' mighty name. And every false word that has been spoken over your people and over individuals, every demonic word that has been spoken, I break the power of it right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, it is broken. It is broken in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for the identity as a child of God, born of the incorruptible seed of the Word of God that lives and abides forever. Right now, in Jesus' mighty name.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death, and a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that he, Jesus, demonstrated his love for us, that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him
will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with Him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in Him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that He is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.